The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Dignity Memorial, with host Patrick Hartsfield and guests.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., and I'm joined this morning by Patrick Hartsfield of Dignity Memorial and Joseph Boyles, who is a local attorney. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to have you with me this morning. It's Friday Eve, as I like to call
it. Is.
Yes. So we got that going for us. And Patrick, I love when you always are here with guests. And so tell us a little bit about what you guys have happening this morning.
Well, today we have Joe Boyles, who is with Boyles and Boyles. Joe, is your dad still?
He is. He's in the process of kind of tidying up things and spending more time golfing.
Okay, good. Good for him. They do a great job with estate planning, wills, trusts, and that sort of thing. So, you know, as far as I know, Joe, more than half of Americans don't have any sort of will or estate plan. And as you know, if you pass away without a will, state law and courts decide.
Yeah. I tell people that if they don't draw up a will, then the Florida legislature's already drawn one up for them.
Right.
It's in the statute books. They've got defaults written into the statute. So you've got one written. It may not be what you want, though.
It's not what you want, right.
Wow, isn't more than half. That is staggering.
It's almost 60%. Mm-hmm. It's from the numbers I could find,
wow.
Which blew my mind.
Wow. Right. So that means people really trust their government, right? That's really what that means.
All-time high.
Right. True. But it's never too late. It's not too late and it's never too early, right?
Right. That's right. There are times it's too late. At some point, the clock runs out.
It's not too late yet, as long as we're still
If you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening, it's not too late and it's
exactly.
Never too early. So how does one get started? What?
The first thing I do is I have a little worksheet that I send out to my clients. We're meeting a lot of clients. Our initial intakes are a lot of times by phone or video right now, just trying to limit contact because, you know, we want to make sure that we do all this in as safe a way as possible. But we do an intake worksheet where I find out primarily about, you know, an individual or a couple's financial situation, what they own, what their family is like, and kind of what's important to them. And we work on figuring out the best way to take what they've got and get it to who they'd like to have it.
So I like to think, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, prepaid funeral plans here and the importance of how that spares undue stress and financial burdens. And I like to think of that as an extension of wills, trusts, and all that in terms of advanced planning and just sort of taking care of everything
definitely
ahead of time.
Definitely. I tell when during my estate planning sessions, I often tell them about pre-planning their funerals as well, because that seems to be from my side, when I meet with families after there's been a death for probate or something like that, that seems to be one of the primary stressors.
Yeah.
Is figuring out, you know, what mom or dad would have wanted in a funeral when you can do it yourself and plan it yourself, you definitely have an advantage. And the same thing goes with your estate. You know, a lot of times people, if there isn't a will, the family members will come in and say, well, mom always told me this. Well, mom always said that I was going to have this, and now my brother or my sister is trying to take it. And I said, unfortunately, again, if we don't plan, if this isn't planned out ahead of time, then, you know, the laws of the state of Florida are going to take effect, and that's going to be basically just dividing everything up, you know, equally between, you know, if either going all to a spouse or equally between all children, or you don't get to specify, you know, what goes to whom. And so it's really important to plan ahead, because you can head off some of that family conflict and some of that stress if it's coming from your mouth.
Absolutely. I know more than occasionally, we get people who have willed cemetery property to their children or grandchildren or whatever it may be. But as far as my understanding is that unless they're very specific, like, you know, Bayview Fish or Memorial Park, Section 19, Lot 351, Spaces 3 and 4, that's really a moot point unless they're that specific.
The specificity is important. It's not... It needs to be specific enough that a judge can properly interpret what you meant.
Right. Okay.
There's some places where special wording is important. In general, a will or a gift in a will is good if it is identifiable.
Right.
What's being given and who it's being given to.
So as long as it's pretty clear cut, there shouldn't be an issue.
Right. Okay. Right.
Cool.
So there are specific gifts and there are general gifts. And so one of the things, what you're referring to seems to be more of a specific gift. You know, I give my son James this item.
Mm-hmm.
When we're laying out a will, we give those gifts in the will early on in the document. And then there's a catch-all at the end called the residuary.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically says, I give anything that I haven't given away previously in this document, everything else that I've got goes to, and then you give it to one person or to a group of people or to, you know, a certain percentage to each person. And so that's kind of the catch-all.
I got you. So there's a hopper at the end that catches
right.
everything.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Did not know that. That's...
So I'm curious now, we're talking about the will and it needs to be specific enough for a judge to interpret it. I wonder if have you seen a lot of people who have tried to do this themselves and maybe have fallen short when it comes to legalese or it really wasn't a binding contract? Like, what makes it a will?
Sure. Well, it's a two-part question. I'll start with what makes it a will. A will is a document where you are... there's no specific form for it, but it has to be clear that you are giving away your property at your death. It needs to be witnessed in Florida. It needs to be witnessed by at least two individuals who are not named in the will, and it needs to. It doesn't have to have a notary, but if there's a notary, it makes it where you don't have to come back later and have affidavits to file with the court that it's true and correct and all that stuff. So it's really best to have a notary. And there's a specific, you know, layout of how it has to be signed and stuff like that. Now, the earlier part of your question was... I got sidetracked.
Oh, no, that's okay. Just people who maybe think they've handled this
themselves.
Oh,
that's right. And so, and I've seen a lot of wills that... were written by, you know, individuals, done personally that have all sorts of problems, and I've seen wills by attorneys that have problems. The worst problem that I've seen that caused the most frustration for me is where a testator, which is the person who, you know, writes the will or the person who gives away the property, the person who's died, said that I give this parcel of property to son A to divide between himself and sons B, A, B, and C as he sees fit. And I argued to the judge that it was supposed to be given away equally, but, you know, the specific parts of the property could be determined by son A. And the judge ruled, and ultimately an appellate court ruled that no, son A is allowed to give it away as he sees fit, which means he can give it just to himself as he sees fit. And the other two children got nothing.
Imagine
from their mom. And
it
because it was just poorly written.
Mm. Wow, and you said it went to an appellate court too, and they still upheld that.
Yeah, that was a...
bummer.
I woke up one morning with an email saying that I had been that I had been overturned on appeal, so...
Darn. But good to know as you're helping other people avoid a similar circumstance in the future.
Yeah, that's the good thing about those types of opinions is that it guides attorney. This is getting into the how the sausage is made, I guess. But it guides attorneys, once you learn those rules, it guides you going forward.
Nothing like experience, to learn from.
We certainly encourage our families to seek, legal counsel when advanced planning is what they're after. And they're, and of course, Joe has been doing this a while. He certainly knows what he's doing, and he's, someone we trust. For sure.
By the time you find out something's wrong, unfortunately, it's too late to fix it because the person's died and they can't write a new will. And so it's important to have it done right.
Mm-hmm. And so that kind of brings up the next thought of, okay, if I really want to make sure I'm doing this the right way, what do I need to get started? Like we said, it's never too early. So what are, you said you have the intake form and you kind of will talk people through.
Yeah, we meet, as I said, typically now, right now, by phone or video conference, and we just discuss, what do they want these gifts to be. One thing I tell people is if there's a necklace that you're not wearing and you eventually want to give it to your daughter, give it to her now. When you can enjoy the conversation and telling her where you got it or who it came from, and so some of isn't even end of death planning, is just saying relax, don't be stressed about this process. This is about gifts and it's about bringing joy to people, and so I think that's part of the process, is getting people to enjoy the process of writing a will and consider it kind of like gift giving, like wrapping a present or something like that.
Yeah.
Getting into the spirit of what it's intended to and not dwelling on death.
But you can give not just to family members, you could do legacy giving, like plan giving,
sure,
to like Covenant Care, for example, or that, I think that's something I really didn't know a whole lot about until relatively recently, but I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and in our on our intake sheets, one of the points is, what would you like to give to charity?
Yeah.
And I really enjoy talking with my clients about that, and finding out why they want to give a gift. What has this organization done for you?
Yeah.
I really enjoy the personal aspects of hearing their stories.
I'm sure you've heard a lot of unique and cool, stuff.
With something you mentioned, Covenant. People who have had these incredible experiences either through Covenant's Alzheimer's work or through their hospice work. That's an organization that's done a lot and that people feel very strongly about. Different various cancer charities, hospitals, religious organizations. It's really beautiful to see how these groups have helped these people through their lives and how they want to return the favor.
I love that. And I love that you, that you frame it up in that way, that this is a your generosity. You can see some of that before you go.
Right.
You can see this love in action and make sure it's all set up in the right way. What is the difference, Joe, if we're talking about a will versus a trust?
And I was actually, you had a good kind of a transition there. A will is kind of your basic, something that everybody needs. A will grabs everything that you own in your own personal name and gives it away. A trust is a complementary document. It is typically not very useful on its own. You still need a will to go with it. But a trust is a document that allows you to continue to have some control and some say in how your gifts are managed and used and spread out after your death. Now, there are plenty of uses that you can use a trust for prior to death. But in terms of estate planning, it can allow you to give a gift that's managed for a longer period of time. If you've got minor children and you want to make sure that they're taken care of in the event of your death, you can set it up so that they don't get it automatically when they turn 18, which is the default, which can lead to a pretty a pretty like difficult situation if you've got a freshman in college who
like
comes
a
into
idea.
A bunch of money.
Oh, it does. It really, for their own good.
Exactly.
Don't let that happen.
And so you can sprinkle the money out where it can pay for college, it can pay for healthcare, it can pay for a lot of stuff, and then there can be chunks of money given, you know, upon graduation or at the age 25 or, you know, at 30. And in the meantime, it can be used to put a down payment on a house or something like that if the trustee feels that that meets the terms or the goals of the trust.
What happens if something happens to the trustee?
Typically in a trust, we have backups. I tell people it's good to have a deep bench for your executor in a will, as well as for your trustee. It's good to pick at least two, and I say typically three is what I'd prefer to have, because you know that sometimes it's not just that someone has died or someone's sick. It's just that in their life they don't have the ability right then to act.
Right.
It may be more than they can handle right then, and so they can feel confident knowing that if they are unable for any reason to do it, that the testator or the original grantor to the trust has picked out someone else that they feel confident in.
And that all gets detailed in the will, or that's in the complementing document?
That would be, it depends. It would be in a will, you'd have a couple of executors named, backup executors, and then with a trust, you'd have backup trustees named.
Gotcha. I want to remind everyone, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C., speaking with Patrick Hartsfeld of Dignity Memorial, and also Joe Boyles of Boyles & Boyles. We're talking about wills and trusts and how powerful of a tool this can be in your own planning, you know, future planning, and also just helping your family, like reduce anxiety, reduce any kind of misunderstanding or potential conflict by just spelling it out and being
sure.
Very, very clear. And if you have a question, we would like to take it. You can give us a call or a text, 850-437-1620. So going back to the trust conversation, I know that's not just for minors. There are different things people could use a trust for. Is that right? Like a business, for example.
Mm-hmm. There, one of the pieces of advice I give people is if they own real estate in more than one state, oftentimes it's very beneficial to have a trust and to place the property in trust, because upon your death, if you own property in your own personal name, if I own property as Joseph Boyles, or then at my death, I have to go through probate in every single state that I own real property.
Oh.
And so if I own property in Florida and in Georgia, I have to do probate here, and then I have to do probate in Georgia. Whereas if that Georgia property is in trust, the owner of the property doesn't change at my death. The trust owned it before my death, and I was the trustee, and the trust continues to own it after my death with a different trustee. And so it's kind of like a corporation continues even though it has a different CEO.
So you name the successor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so it allows that continuity of ownership without changing things over. And there are other you know, business situations. If you wanted stock to stay, not have to change over from one person to another, but you wanted the dividends to keep going to a certain group of people, instead of taking, you know, your shares of stock and dividing them up amongst five people, you could keep the stock in the trust, and have the trust give out those dividends five ways as it comes in, or something. That's just an example.
Wow, that's really interesting.
That is interesting, yeah. And I know avoiding probate multiple times would probably just save everybody a lot of paperwork,
I
if nothing
think
else.
That's the whole plan, right? To avoid probate.
There's avoiding probate is a very useful tool for trusts. If you own everything in trust, everything, then that ownership does not change at your death.
Right.
And so it passes on without going through probate. Sometimes, for various reasons, it's difficult to get everything in trust. And so there would be variations, and you'd have a trust. You might still have to probate certain items.
So always good to talk it through.
Yes.
With an attorney. And so we do have a call coming in, so I'd like to welcome David from Pensacola to the expert panel. Good morning, David.
Hey, David.
I got a question here about this trust you're speaking of.
Yes, sir.
Can property that is within a trust serve as collateral on a loan?
That would be something that you would need to take to a bank, but I would imagine it could be collateral on a loan as long as the trust allowed it. And most likely the loan would be to the trust. So a trust assets can be used as collateral. It's kind of a complex question. It would require kind of finding out more about the trust. Typically, mm-hmm. a trust could do it definitely if the trust was seeking the loan.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Okay, well, I have a piece of property. I have some property. In fact, everything I own. But the trust does not speak to any use as collateral for financing anything. That's what I was questioning.
Yeah, and it would probably take – that's the thing about trusts is that there's some general stuff that you can know about any trust, but then there's some specifics. The nice thing about a trust is you get to write your own rules, and so it's really important to look over the specific rules of that specific trust.
Okay.
But generally –
All right, thank you. I'm going to hang up now.
It's possible. Thanks.
Is it difficult to modify a trust?
There are two primary types of trust. There's a revocable trust, which mm-hmm. you can change,
right, or
you can revoke completely, and you can modify as long as the terms of the trust, they may tell you can only modify certain things or mm-hmm. or whatever. And then there's an irrevocable trust, and that type of trust is pretty much written in stone. Once you create it, it becomes kind of a self-driving vehicle. And the nice thing about that can be used for, you know, if you want to take liability away from yourself, if you want to remove certain financial responsibilities that may fall on you otherwise, those things can be put into trust. But once you do it, you can't reverse it. You got to feel pretty confident about who your trustee is and pretty confident about what the terms are in that trust.
I know we do trusts. I'm not going to be able to say that word. I can tell already. Irrevocable.
Hey, there you go.
That was good.
Especially when people are trying to qualify for Medicaid,
right,
and do spend downs on that, and it can be really useful.
It is. It's very useful. So Medicaid has a 5-year look back on any property that you give away for less than fair market value, and that includes putting things into an irrevocable trust. You know, planning for Medicaid is great, but it takes a good bit of work with your accountants, your estate planner, your financial planner, making sure that it's right for you and making sure that you do it properly.
Right.
Because you know, if you do it wrong, you end up with, you've given away your money, and if you require that Medicaid service anytime in that next, if you run out of money, you're out of luck.
Right.
And so there can be some downsides if you don't plan properly.
Just be careful.
Right.
Be careful. And Joe, I want to make sure if anyone has follow-up questions or more in-depth questions, they know how to get in touch with you and your team. What's the best way for them to do that?
You can give us a call at 850-433-9225, or you can shoot me an email. It's a long one, so jwcb@boylesandboyleslaw.com. Boylesandboyleslaw.com is where you can find us on the web.
Awesome. Very good. And Patrick, if people are interested in learning more about Dignity Memorial.
Right. Give us a call at Bayview, Fisher Pew Chapel. It's 850-432-7805. Eastern Gate Memorial Park and Funeral Home at 479-9223. Oaklawn Funeral Home at 453-2321.
Very good. And last thoughts on wills and trusts. Anything you would recommend to people listening right now?
I think it's important to start early. Young families, a lot of times people think, oh, well, I don't have enough assets, I don't have enough money. Choosing a guardian for your child, if something happens to the parents, is one of the very important things, and making sure that something is set up to protect the money from the child and vice versa if something happens to you.
Very good. So like we said at the very beginning, it's never too early.
Correct.
Never too early.
Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thank you.